like a hit monk. He's internationally known as Germany's and perhaps Europe's most profiled UFO expert, according to Quest UFO magazine. And he's an investigator of the great mysteries of our times. He has studied cultural anthropology and history at Göttingen University, and he lives in Düsseldorf, Germany. Since 1984, he has published Magazine 2000, Europe's largest magazine on the paranormal, which comes out in Germany and in Czechoslovakia and German English, with a circulation of 100,000 copies. His international bestsellers, UFO, The Evidence, The Cosmic Connection, Beyond Roswell, and UFOs, A Secret History, they were published in 16 countries with a circulation of nearly 700,000 copies. Hetman produced several award-winning videos and documentaries of UFOs. They have been distributed to 14 countries and he has also worked as an advisor and expert for the TV program in the US, including X-Files, Sightings and Encounters for Parliament, the Fox Networks, etc., etc. Since 1990, he has traveled more than 650,000 miles in search for the truth out there. He has interviewed U.S. astronauts Gordon Cooper and U.S. astronaut Edgar Mitchell, as well as several Soviet cosmonauts on their UFO experiences. He lectured on international conferences in 33 countries of all five continents, including Norway, including the UN seat in the United States, the International Humanist Society, and the Ministry of Transport and Culture of Republic of San Marino. He has also been at 30 universities with his speech, and therefore we are very eager and ask you to welcome Michael Hesseman.
Can you hear me? Yeah, I'm floating in my tin can all across the sky, flooded on this blue, there's nothing I can do. David Bowie, Major Tom, Space Oddity. One of the great moments in human history and in human music, because it, you know, it was a poetry based on the early experiences of the American astronauts. And I love it, I love the idea of planet on this blue. And there's a lot you can do. Indeed, that's a lot we can do. We can do beautiful UFO conferences, and I'm very grateful not only for your flattering introduction, and I hope that part of it is even true, but I'm very grateful that people organize your beautiful conferences so the information can come out, and then you really invite excellent speakers like Heinrich Mossan, Eric von Däniken, Dr. Stephen Greer, and all the others we heard. So thank you very much in the name of the speakers, and I think I speak for you, for the audience. Thank you very much to the organizers who worked so bloody hard to put this beautiful thing together. Thank you. We are witnesses of a historic event because we had the first UFO conference in the first millennium. I mean, of course, there's a bigger discussion if the new millennium is starting in 2001 or in 2000. I personally don't believe in mathematics, I believe in symbology. And I think from the symbol that for the very first time in history we can write a 2. At least at Christmas, this was did it a long time ago. But we can write a 2 in front of our four-figure year number. Is a very powerful symbol. 2000 instead of 1999. So, you know, we should do it like the ancient Romans did it, who every 100 years had 1 year of seculum celebration. Seculum means not century, it stood for century, but it means something like age. So eight celebrations, and had 1 year of celebrations, and now this gossip and new millennium began on the 1st of January of 2000 or 2001. This is the first global conference of the new millennium, and it's so beautiful what has happened in the city of Oslo. This was an international meeting point and a landmark of peace efforts in the last 50 years of human history. And indeed, you people, this will be new today. And long time ago, 1,000 years ago, you were the Vikings who went on Viking on an expedition to get treasures and knowledge to your city of Norway. And today, of course, they're not hunting for gold anymore, at least not for material gold, but for information. So we are all Vikings who go out, who go to the Americas, who discover America, who go to America, who go to Africa, who go to Asia, Australia, to get information together, which indeed, at the end, will set us free. The truth might piss you off, but it will set you free, to paraphrase my friend Dr. Stephen Greer. So, indeed, this is a new song for mankind, a new beginning, a new millennium. And we should open our minds and look what is waiting for us out there. And what is waiting for us out there is a beautiful new discovery, a beautiful new realization. We are not alone in the universe. They come closer and closer to Hesdal in Norway. I hope I pronounced it right. To Hesdal in Norway, to Phoenix, Arizona, to Mexico City, to Tel Aviv, Israel, to Rome, Italy, all over the world, there's mass sightings. I just got a long report from the internet about the events which are going on right now in this very moment in the People's Republic of China. There's a wave of sighting. Every week there's a sighting over Beijing, Shanghai, Hong Kong, and so on. And if the papers, the communist-controlled papers, are full of it. The government acknowledged the phenomenon is real. A couple of weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago, I got a report on the internet for the latest poll in Chile. You know, the country where they make chili con carne. Chile is a different one. It's South of Peru, beautiful country in South America. 97% believe in UFOs. According to an official poll of the Chilean terrorism. This shows, if you go to Mexico, you will come to the same results that somebody would make a poll up into Mexico several times, the last time in December, when my friend Heidi did the second most beautiful UFO conference in the world, I have to say, here in Acapulco. I have to admit, I prefer the weather in Acapulco, okay, the beach. The people were as nice as you are, wonderful people as you are, but I prefer the beach, so I have to say it was the most beautiful one because you could combine it with some outside activity. But if you go to these people, if you go to Mexico, you'll find out that what Heine was showing here is just daily reality. Normal stuff, bloody boring. Don't get excited about it at all. And only, see, none is bizarre, nothing special. I spent 3 hours in the tower of Mexico City's international airport, biggest airport in Latin America. And it was 3 hours from 1 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm a night owl. He had 4 times UFOs on the radar screen, hovering for minutes on one spot. And suddenly, shooting away, increasing to Mach 2, 2 times the speed of sound. Any explanation? Nothing. Several cases of near collisions. I interviewed Capitan Gorgoso, not Colonel Gorgoso, Capitan Corso, an Aeromexico pilot, who had a near collision, who was yelling in his microphone, his broad microphone, we're all gonna die! There's a disc, there's a traffic at 12 o'clock position right in front of us, shooting in our direction. Collision course, we're all gonna die. But in the very moment he finished the word die, the object was shooting away and disappeared in another cloud. This man, believe me or not, landed with wet pants. He had a good reason for it, because a couple of days before, another aeronautical pilot had indeed a collision where the object cut off his landing gear. He landed with only half of his landing gear, and this was officially investigated. People filmed the same UFOs which they had on the radar screen. They filmed them. They are real. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's look around the world, and as also mentioned, I traveled on the Andromeda in the 1990s. It says 3 times to the moon, I think. And unfortunately, I haven't been there, but I spoke to a man who went to the moon, Edgar Mitchell. No, he will not tell you about cities on the moon, but he will tell you something as interesting. He spoke to people of the U.S. government who were involved in the secret U.S. UFO research programs, what means back engineering, crash, alien craft, Roswell and stuff in Area 51. And I want to begin my little overview of the UFO situation in the 90s and in the last century, because you're all old stuff, you're all from the last century. So I will begin my presentation with a little introduction by my friend Dr. Edgar Mitchell, Apollo 14 astronaut, one of the handful of human beings who ever entered another celestial body. He is one of the pioneers, but in the future, he might all go out there. Edgar Mitchell, in video number one, please. Was drawn by an official study of the French Institute for Military Sciences, which is an institution with many high-ranking militaries as members, also many high-ranking academics in France. In the July of last year, 1999, IHEDN, French Institute of National Defense, released the study, the so-called Cometa Report, which came after years of careful investigation of the available evidence to the firm conclusion that the UFO phenomenon definitely is real, and the most probable explanation is not spectres, earthlights, time travelers, any kind of whatever, but extraterrestrial spaceships visiting planet Earth. And indeed, the Cometa study, which was given to the Prime Minister of France and the President of France, recommended further steps to prepare mankind on this reality so we can react properly. We know what is happening in the future, we know what we should prepare for a kind of encounter, a kind of contact. An official French study came to the conclusion UFOs are real, most probably of ET origin. The same conclusion drawn by Dr. Edgar Mitchell. I want to begin to show you a part of my work in the last couple of years was to release a lot of visual evidence for the ET reality for you. When I began to deal with ufology in the 1970s, I wanted to see UFOs on film. And it took me a long, long time to get my first UFO film. I was a little boy and I started to write to people and then wanted to collect materials, couldn't get any. Today I'm in a happy position to release 400 of the world's best UFO films of all times in a video series which we are selling down there at the conference table. And I can tell you that the quantity and the quality of the material is ever increasing. And just to give you a little bit of an idea what is seen all over the world and filmed all over the world, I will show you some of the filmic evidence. I know you can say film or photo never is an evidence. Yeah, in some way you're right. Today you can do everything on your computer with Photoshop on whatever $2,000 computer. On the other hand, keep in mind some of the films I show you come from a time when none of us, except Joe Furness, could ever afford a computer. I'm talking about the 1960s, 1970s. So still Thomas wasn't born in the 1970s anyway. But nobody could afford a computer. You see, all these young computer videos, you know, they are younger than me, even generation after me. And so anyway, but at that time, tricking, faking was extremely difficult. And still, these gems have an excellent quality because they are not fake, they are real. So don't judge everything from today's perspective, judge from the time's perspective, and also ask for one thing, is to say, this is all fake. Why? Why should people say? One intention is money. But in very, very rare cases, in 1% of the cases, people ask for money at all. And if I say they ask for money, they want $100 for a video day. So what? It's not worth the time to make, you know, if you do it, if you do special effects, computer effects. I mean, one time I wanted my company's logo, 2003 production, I made by a professional computer special effects lab, and they charged me $2,000. Something like whatever, I don't know, the crown, YouTube, and stuff like that. But they charged me $2,000 for making this, you know, 1 minute company's logo. So why should somebody do the same work to take a logo film for $100? Another point is, okay, they want to say, who is getting famous, please? I mean, do you know anybody who was famous because of the logo film? Not really, right? So, both intentions are non-existent. But we have all the beautiful little skeptics and debunkers who never get the nice little bug out of their armchair and never do any field research. Field research is something what we do, we go there, we talk to the people, and it's very easy to call yourself video, photographic, blah, 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 expert, and say, oh, it's all a fake, I can do it. Never do it. Just claim, I can do it. And they didn't do any investigation. But Jaime showed you the Mexican film from August 6, 1997. I was so deeply impressed when I saw it on one hand, and I was even more skeptic on the other hand. So you can take it. So I went there alone. I did it completely independent. Jaime is a dear friend, but investigation has to be fruitful. So I went there alone. There's an interpreter, went in the area, and started to stop people on the street, asking them, and within one afternoon, as for eyewitnesses, how can it be fake? You can fake a film, you can't fake eyewitnesses. So let's have a look at some of the best UFO films from the 20th century. Video number one, continue please. Well, and they gave me the radar data from their stations all over the country. And the most frequent UFO activity in Switzerland is indeed over the area, the Willy Meyer Labs in the upper Zurich canton or province of Zurich. So indeed, we seem to have a lot of UFO activity. Switzerland was one of the countries that this is most open in the release of UFO information, and they gave radar data, important military data, to the UFO researchers in Germany and their own country. So, if we can turn on the audio, and let's see what is the next collection of videos which we have here. We are on the ground, and then we analyzed it frame by frame, we found out that this plane did not behave like normal light. This, of course, light is infinite, as you know. But in the film, in one frame, it only goes to here, the second frame it goes to here. So it is a phenomenon, you call it ufology, solid light, bundle, solid, coherent light, which we can't explain with our physics. Not talking about making it by ourselves or faking it. It is like laser light, but the laser, as you can see here, the laser is very, very thin, and of course, if you don't have a fog, in a fog you will see it, but if you don't have a fog you will see really the ray only if it is bigger and bigger, but you don't have this. And we don't have solid light. This object including its shaky movements, was seen by eyewitnesses. One day I was driving back from Pakistan to Mexico City, taking along a cat from the street. Asked the driver, did you ever see any strange light? And he said, see. And he described to me a big disc-shaped thing with wet spots on it and yellow and making shaky movements, and suddenly a ray of light came out of it several times, and he gave me this testimony on camera. It will be part of my film, I do on the case. Here we have another beautiful film taken by Carlos Gil. He zoomed in. This is a tree, and we were able to measure the tree. I went to the location. I used Carlos's camera to reenact the scene, of course, without the UFO. And this tree is shaking because some kind of waves are coming out of the UFO. And the distance, we measured the distance between the tree and the object. It was about 150 meters. We measured the diameter of the tree, and we concluded that the diameter of the UFO is again between 30 and 40 meters. Now, we found one film which shows a very similar object taken by a cameraman of Italian television, of TV Roma, on the 4th of May 1994 in Ostia, which is the old harbor of Rome. And here it looks very unspectacular. It is this white thing and little things coming out of it, and these little fillings are like the spheres, which you know from Mexico, which Jaime Maussan spoke about in his beautiful presentation. He was there in 1998 in Capão Redondo, São Paulo, Brazil. Capão Redondo is a poor suburb of São Paulo. It's one of the biggest cities in the world. 18 million people live there. And it was a hot summer night because they had summer in January, unlike we do on the other half of Earth. So it was a hot summer night. Everybody was outside. No, video number two. Video number two, stop. You have the wrong video. You have video number four. We are talking about video number two. Video number two is you're for the footage archive and part four, and it is queued up to the end. It seems to be the right one. It's the second one in the presentation, so I'll put it in. It is the footage archive part number four. We all released what you see now. No, not this one, the other one. Stop, put it out again. There's two tapes of the same video. Was one of the countries with the most impressive rate for UFO sightings during the 1990s. This was one night, the 24th of June 1996, when nobody in Tel Aviv was sleeping. The traffic was somewhere stopping because they had UFOs in the sky over Tel Aviv, Israel. And you know that Israel has a constant security problem because they are in a kind of aggressive neighborhood. And the military was really going crazy about having this completely unknown activity because it could be a secret weapon of Saddam Hussein. But certainly it turned out to be nothing threatening, but just something very interesting, very strange. Here they have a military plane, a military helicopter actually, investigating what is flying there. And a couple of days later, on the 24th of June, indeed, someone or something was shooting at the UFO. And here we have the UFO. And the military this time reacted in quite an aggressive way. And you see how beautifully peaceful our visitors are because they didn't shoot back. So, observe the UFO and see what happens in a moment coming from the left. Just hovering over a suburb of Tel Aviv, when suddenly this thing, this rocket, hit it. But it didn't crash, it just disappeared in the very moment. Another lovely film taken over the Colombian president Yal, the palace of the president of Ecuador. another indication for the web of sighting. This was taken by an official cameraman of Ecuadorian television, an object flying with great speed over an airspace which is prohibited for commercial and private military whatever traffic, because of course the area is a high security area, the area over the presidential palace. Here we have babies from Aviano Air Base. These fighters, which are like demonic black bats in New Zealand, and I saw them flying directly over me one time in New Mexico. And two UFOs were passing by. Now we have the neighbor country. Two people were camping at a lake, at a beautiful lake in Sweden, and they suddenly filmed this thing. One of the typical UFO types from the 90s is the international activity of triangular craft. Starting in Wilson in 1989, they are seen, filmed, observed everywhere all over the world. The last time we had eight policemen in the USA, in Minnesota, who observed on January 8th of 2000, such a triangular craft flying over the Korean area. Some people claim they are military, and maybe the military has triangular craft, but some of them have really flat characteristics which are not that of terrestrial planes, like hovering, speeding up, and doing all kinds of unexplainable maneuvers. In August 1996, going back to beautiful Israel, over the Kibbutz Hatzor in the north, in the Golan area, for 3 nights in a row, and all the kibbutzim, the people in the kibbutz, in the agricultural community, saw this structured object hovering over their land. And personally, they had the cameras, they zoomed in, and you could see details on it. It looks like windows. I don't know if these are aliens or if it is any kind of whatever. Light display, I don't know what it is, but we can clearly determine, and we did it on the computer. Here is an oval shape, and we have the little lights here, and we have the big lights on the left, and there seem to be openings, windows, whatever. Don't ask me what is behind it, because I've never been behind these windows, but, and this Mordechai, and was staying at a friend's place, and in whatever dinner with his friend, then suddenly the house was shot by an earthquake. And because he was the security chief, the police chief of this village, he ran to the window because he believed maybe it was a bomb explosion. It might be a terrorist attack by the PLO or Hamas or whatever. And what he saw out there was a shiny, 3 meters tall figure running away, but not normally running away like a jogger, but jumping, making big jump like moonwalk, like steps, like the astronauts walk on the moon. And he immediately called his fellow policeman, but when Edward came, the being had long disappeared. But what they found, because it was a huge day bed way before, and, you know, you very rarely have rain in the desert, but if you have rain in the desert, you can see every footprint. So, they found footprints for 5 kilometers, and these footprints were about 48 centimeters long, and very, very deep in the ground. So they could find out it was a very heavy being, very tall being, and for 5 kilometers, a big distance between every footprint, which confirms the jumping movement, and the case was in Israeli television, very well documented. And again, I can only say, why, this is not an international television. And the reason is ignorance of the media. Many media people just, if they hear about an event like that, no, can't be true. You don't want it to be true. It's ridiculous, it might ruin our career, it can't be true. But unfortunately, it is true. This is the third night over Itzhak, and now this object had a skylight display, which of course was for everybody very frightening. And a couple of weeks later, the Rabin assassination took place in Israel was in a very great danger, in a danger of indeed a kind of war after the Rabin assassination. So it might have been a warning. Here's another film which was taken by the cameras, and personally actually, yeah, they took it actually through the plastic window of their tent, and on the original film here, yeah, this I'm such a little bit overexposed, on the original film, on original video quality, you can see a sphere hovering right there. But unfortunately, as I say, they took it through a plastic window during the camping holiday. But the best film will come. Yeah, that's yeah, yeah. Okay, stay fast forward. Which picture? Picture fast forward. Okay, another Ecuadorian film, fast forward. I want to show you a very special film. That's nice, but not special. Now the music really gets funny. Like casual music. Okay, fast forward. And say this, maybe, okay, stop. This is another beautiful film from Israel. Here you see the town and everything, and high in the sky is this apple-shaped craft hovering in Kraft Shabbat. In September 1996, Elad Neger took the film. And the film after it is, in my opinion, such a remarkable film. It was taken in Switzerland. Two hunters were there, one took a camera because he wanted to film deer with a knife. You know, digital cameras have his knife. Batting, or you get something nearly like infrared filming. And with his knife lens, so to say, he, the special exposure, he wanted to film deer. And he filmed three UFOs. But first we have this apple-shaped craft over Israel. And again, the place here, Kfar Shaba, is close to Tel Aviv, but doesn't mean anything in Israel, because Israel is so beautiful, small, everything is close to Tel Aviv. Jerusalem is 45 minutes from Tel Aviv. Okay, this film is from the 1st of October at 8:35 p.m. And play the audio. Unfortunately, Eric von Däniken is not here anymore. He could sort of use this accent, but he has his three lovely things. The disturbance in the audio comes obviously from the electromagnetic field of the object. This is a lamp. The lamp is from the visitor's house. Okay, all the forming triangles. Obviously, the triangle is a constant in your home maneuvers. Your films taken by the space stations in the Earth orbit, that they form triangular formations. You have the experience of Dr. Stephen Greer, who saw them taken triangular formations. We do have the films from Mexico, so obviously they like to appear triangular patterns, whatever the meaning they have to find out. It is, of course, a cosmic trinity, the symbol of the cosmic trinity. It has a lot of deeper meanings. And for example, the Star of David is nothing else than a double triangle, this direction and that direction. A pyramid has a triangular shape from one side. It is four triangles combined. So we do have triangles in the Holy Trinity in Christianity is a triangle. So we do have it in several traditions, and it has a cosmic or cosmological meaning. But it's very interesting that they appear in this form. Next film, video number, whatever one, video Vidya number four, let's try Vidya number four, if you have Kapao Redondo. This video we don't play anymore and put it away. Good. Beautiful case, Sao Paulo, summarized, January 1998. And a good family was sitting, enjoying dinner, and suddenly through the window they saw this thing under the boy's door, and everybody saw it up there. And the boy ran up, got the camera of his parents, and filmed it from the balcony of the house. His cousin, who was running the family, came up too. She took over the camera and he was not able to turn the autofocus off. Please do me one favor, whenever you film it, you're told, don't use the autofocus. Turn it off and put on infinity, manual infinity. Because then you will get the film focus. Here the film starts zooming in and off, because it's autofocus. And Kapuska, beautiful little Brazilian bird, lovely, she took over the camera from him and turn the autofocus off and then we get the good footage. But here's, you know, the craft. It's coming from the sky, diving into the city, going through the streets and going up again. My Brazilian friend, engineer Claudio Cobo, did an investigation and I went over last year, exactly 1 year ago, in February of 1999. And I spoke to the eyewitnesses, including a man standing right here who saw it from 10 meters distance. He was waiting for his wife to come with the bus and he wanted to pick her up. Here you really see how it is diving into the city, flying by the houses, and we were able to locate 62 eyewitnesses who saw it from down there, from a close distance flying. It was a football-shaped, football-sized sphere. But obviously under intelligent control, obviously maneuvering in a very, very, very strange way and in a very intelligent way over an inhabited area. Stop it. Over an inhabited area, and this is how they produced one of the most remarkable films of an intelligently controlled sphere at all. Now we play video number three, and this became Close Encounters. The alien beings were seen, one in Africa and one in Brazil. The first one happened the very same day on which the luminous figure of Jaime Maussan showed you was filmed in Mexico. And the very same day, this was filmed in the Ariel School of Rua, Zimbabwe, at 10 o'clock in the morning. Keep in mind, you have the time difference. Zimbabwe is a different time zone than Mexico. But at the very same hour, the children were playing on the school ground of the Ariel School in Rua, Zimbabwe, in the great morning break, 10 o'clock, and suddenly they saw a flashing on the other side of the spam area, in front of the bushes, and all the children saw it, run and observed for several minutes how, first of all, out of a flash of light, a distant craft materialized, and then three beings, one after the other, came out of it. And the being looked at the children, and it happened right here in front of these trees. One of the beings looked at the children, and they got a telepathic message, some of them, you should heal the planet, save the planet, it is in danger. Here are some of the drawings the children made of the several faces of the encounter, the appearance of the craft, the landing of the craft on the tripod landing gear. Here they have the tripod landing gear, a structural craft. It landed. It is on the ground. One, two, three beings came out of it. Two were in the background. And one came directly looking at them. Two were boys, one had long black hair, they all had big round eyes. And these beings looked directly at them and they had this telepathic message, take over the responsibility for your planet. Don't destroy it. Don't destroy it any longer. I went there. My friend John Mack went there first, Professor John Mack of the Harvard University in Massachusetts, USA, and he interviewed some of them and came to the conclusion, these children are telling the truth, they had a real experience. So I went over, I interviewed 24 of them, of the 100 school children, and same pimples. I brought you here today, and if you play the audio, and we will see this beautiful servant. He is Lisa Pillai. She's a real guy, very bright, 13 years old young girl. And she is drawing it so precisely. She said, I can't draw the teeth of the bean because the feet I couldn't see. They're the grass. This gives you an idea that they're not contaminating. Of course, you could draw the feet, but no. She said, I can't draw the feet. I couldn't see them because the grass was covering the feet. This is logical.
I don't see the feet. I don't see the point
here.
She's going to walk. There is one time we were playing in the field, and then we just saw some flickering of a light near the dam. And then we just saw the silver thing. We just saw the silver thing that had just stood there, and we saw two people. One had long hair, the other one was bald, and they both had big eyes. And then we all those great ones were all scared, they were all crying. So then the prefect and I went to the teacher to tell them about this. So they didn't believe us.
Yeah, again, a reenactment of what happened?
Slide had like a horn or something sharp like that. Yeah. I couldn't see the face, I could just see it all dark, dark black.
The whole festival started running. So I walked around to see where it was, and I was asking where it was, and everyone was screaming, shouting, and so. And I looked down there, and I just saw a piece of metal that was curved on the roofing, and the light, the sun was shining on it, and made like a line of light. And then I saw these little black things running across, and they had huge heads, and like big, sparkle eyes.
Something. And then I saw everybody running down here by the logs, and I put my lunchbox down to see what they were looking at. So I got there, and I saw this kind of a yellow thing on the ground by the trees there. And then I saw these people, well, not black people. They had black suits on, jumping out of the top of the kind of a saucer. And
okay. It's wrong enough. Stop. This is the next one. I get an idea that these children are neither lying nor confabulating, but trying to soothe their words very carefully. You observed the last little girl, how she was very careful thinking about kind of people coming out of this saucer-shaped thing. She didn't say aliens came off the landed craft. But these children tried to be as accurate and truthful as possible. It's a very good school. It's only from, you know, first grade to sixth grade. It's a basic school. Children are between 6 and 12. And Lisa was 13 when I interviewed her. She left school for already 1 year. First grade. But it's a private school, a mixed school, you see black and white and colored children. A beautiful school, just in the suburban area of Harare, the capital of Zimbabwe. And these children, they're so deeply impressed by their experience that they started to get involved into ecological activities. They went out in the forest and the bushes trying to clean them up. They wanted to be active in saving the planet and fulfilling the mission they got from these beings. And I spoke to them, I spoke to the parents, I spoke to the teachers, the headmaster of the school. They all confirmed, no, this was real. It changed their life. They woke up in the middle of the night and had dreams of it for years. It was not a joke, not a prank, nothing at all. You always admit a prank when you're a kid. Hey, I fooled you! They never did it. It changed their life. They became different people. And when I went to the school, the headmaster invited me if I would you know, like to spend the morning with the children, and they have a lot of questions, and they wanted to know more about it. They have questions. They should be as qualified and intelligent as yours will be tonight. Like coming from adults, from people who really were responsible and eager to learn more. Only one of these 100 children, one boy, had a problem. He became a bedwetter after the experience, not because of the UFOs, because of his parents. Reborn Christians, fanatics, didn't believe him. No, there are no UFOs. You are lying to us. Stop lying to us. He said, I'm not lying. I saw it. Everybody saw it. Stop lying. He developed a psychological problem. He became a bedwetter. He is now in psychological treatment. Because his parents did not believe him. He never lied to his parents. Nice boy, deeply religious family. He never lied. He did not want to take the truth. So it's not insane to have a UFO encounter. But sometimes it is dangerous to confront even your dear ones, your beloved family with it. Well, the message is very important. In all complex cases, if the one from Billy Meyer, which I mentioned in the beginning, Carlos Diaz himself, the man who filmed the UFOs in Tampa, Florida, became a contactee. His children became contactees. Many people had real abduction experiences. And I fully agree with Dr. Greer that some of the abduction events are staged. The one vision was fear and terror and military presence. But they have a real phenomenon, they have a beautiful phenomenon, which is called an outreach program for a constantly handicapped mankind by Professor John Mack. Real experiences that people came out of it as richer people, developing psychic abilities, healing abilities, artistic abilities after what is called an alien abduction experience. I made a film about it called Global Abductions, a Global Phenomenon, documenting that this happened all over the world. In Finland, there's a lady who had such an experience, Dr. Rauli Lukkainen-Kilda. I hope I pronounced the name right. In Israel, in Australia, in Germany, in Hungary, all over the planet. A real phenomenon. And indeed, this reality just means that if you always come in front of a UFO phenomenon, it can change us all. But I'll show you another case, how we treat them, and that's a totally different story. Play, continue with the video, and we see three beautiful young girls, and the three beautiful young girls on the 20th of January 1996, and this is Liliana, this is Fatima, Katia, and Valkyria, are coming home from work in Brasilia, Brazil, and suddenly they saw a little being in this position on the wall, and because it has the three little protrusions on the head, they, being lovely, naive little girls, believed it is the devil, and it was ugly, and they ran away. They reenacted it for me. I wasn't the dean, okay? I didn't film it. And they ran away to their mother, told the mother about it, and the mother walked up. They are poor, they don't have a child. They walked up. And when they came back, nothing was there anymore, but the people living there said the firefighters came and they captured a very strange kind of animal. My friend Vittorio Baccaccini started to investigate the case. He found 50 eyewitnesses from the area. It's confirmed that in the early morning hours, these people and others saw something like a cigar-shaped craft with smoke coming out of it, crashing into the forest. Stop the video. In the morning hours, a first being was captured by the firefighters at a different location in Virginia. The second being in the afternoon, the being which was seen by Valkyria, Liliana, and Katia, And they were captured, brought to hospital, brought to a military camp. One died, one survived, at least for some time, was brought to the USA, same story like in the Kalahari press, which kind of was up mentioned. You can't deny the experience of 45 people, including medical personnel which saw them in the hospital, including even firefighters who testified, including people living there. It happened. And that's how we are treating them. The aggression doesn't come from them. The aggression comes from us, from our xenophobia. Because they are different. They have to be enemies. Independence Day. Propaganda movie. I nominated Independence Day for the Dr. Joseph Goebbels Film Award for Propaganda Movies. Let's come to number five, video number five. A very interesting thing. They like religion. When Pope John Paul II visited Mexico between January 22nd and January 26th of 1999, he had a big UFO activity. This is my local, I told you, it cost $2,000. It's true. And this is a film taken just before the Pope arrived and played a little bit darker. If you can make it darker, the video projection, make it darker. Okay, less light, darker. Anyway, they have the antennas of the television towers above Mexico City. It's a hill, and you have all the antennas on top of the hill. And one lady living close by, yeah, that's better, she saw this big, big, big grande flotilla, muy grande flotilla of ovnis flying there. And people, some skeptics believe, don't anywhere works, but they analyze them very carefully, and you'll see, if you do a train by plane, they're not birds or anything like this. They're really an intelligent control, and a little bit later, they will form patterns, and then in the very moment when the bells ring, because the prophecies of the plane of the Pope landed in Mexico, in this very moment, in all the cities, all the bells of the cathedrals and everything on the churches around, in this very moment, they are flying straight away. There's a connection. And from the very moment the Pope entered Mexico City, people saw UFOs. Yesterday I got a film which Daniel Munoz, the co-governor of Jaime Marzán, brought me over from another person who was standing there waiting for the Pope and the video camera. And he filmed the Pope coming in his car and the Papa movie left. And then everybody said, Opti, Opti! And he stopped, Pope, up. Which one of the interesting, you know, filming the Pope or filming the Opti? He's on the Pope. And Salami said, Pope, Omni. You know, and then at the end they said, we're driving away, and then he goes to the Omni. So, I tell you a little bit more about the Pope in a moment. And in 1995, I was at a television discussion in the Italian television, right? And I met a priest there who impressed me a lot. He was a member of the Roman Catholic Curia, which is something like the High Council of the Catholic Church in Rome, of the Vatican. And Monsignore Corrado Baluzzi, and he said in this television show, aliens are real, no question, UFOs are real, you can't deny eyewitnesses. And I said, wow, this man is special. I said, Monsignore, may I introduce myself? I'm Michael Hesselman. I would love to interview you. Are you willing to give me an interview? He said, sure. Next time I came to Rome, we met. We had a beautiful interview. In his apartment, there's a view on St. Peter's Cathedral, the Dome of St. Peter. And he said things like, UFOs are real because you can't deny the human testimony. It is against man and against any reason to debunk human testimony in general. We have to take human testimony serious. Human testimony is one of the fundamentals of human society. If we can't trust each other, we can't live. Religion is based on human experience. Religion is real. UFOs are real. Well, he says there's no problem for Catholics to believe in ETs, and no problem for Lutheran, nothing too. Because God is so omniscient, omnipotent, infinite, He can create the universe like nothing. And maybe they are closer to God than we are, maybe we can learn a lot from them about God. And hearing that from the Matsubore Koranava Sushi, that's a very beautiful thing. Now I heard that on November 28th, you know, sometimes on the Sundays the Pope is visiting a church community in Rome, because he's the Bishop of Rome too. And he went to a church in Rome, and he met the members of the parish, and the little boy said, "Holy Father, may I ask you a question?" And he said, "Sure." And he said, "Are there aliens, Holy Father?" And he said, "Well, keep in mind, they are children of God as we are." Isn't that a beautiful statement? Keep in mind, they are children of God like we are. He didn't say yes, he didn't say no. I mean, this was a confirmation. So, obviously, they're very open-minded, and obviously, in this good moment he landed in Mexico, obviously, the ETs are monitoring his activity, because the leader of the biggest religion in the world, 1 billion Catholics out there, is quite open-minded in this question, and maybe one of the biggest breakthroughs will not come from Hilly Billy Willie Bill Clinton, not from Monica Lewinsky, not out of the mouth of Monica Lewinsky, but will come from Rome. Why not? Roma la futura causa finita e le sa real. Rome spoke, the case is finished, your cause are real. And, you know, the Catholic Church has this saying, if Rome decides, the case is finished. And it sure bothers me, because 1 million people accept the judgment of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, the next video, the last video, I want to another breakthrough. We heard a lot about the Americans. We saw American UFO films taken from the space shuttle. Tiny circle, three of them. But the Russians released much more last year. I never met so many open generals and cosmonauts as in Russia. And this is from one of the Mir missions, broadcast to Earth by a silent capsule, a Russian one, which was approaching it and filming the Mir. This is a direct broadcast from the space station. You have the aircraft from the space center of Moscow, and you have the Mir station, and in a moment you will see the UFO flying by. I interviewed, together with my friend Valery Uberov, he collected interviews of 5 Russian cosmonauts who openly on camera spoke about their UFO sightings. My friend and colleague Giorgio Bonsovani went to Moscow several times and interviewed astronauts and generals and got a lot of material. Last time he came, this material was handed over to him in Moscow. And it turned out to be some of the most amazing UFO footage I have ever seen, and maybe you too, unless you belong to the military or the intelligence. Maybe the local CIA representative here in the audience saw better stuff, but anyway, what is flying around here? What is it? Look here, too fast to be dark. This is under intelligent control, very fast, and they know it in the space station because the guys who are receiving the images are filming it, are going close up. A lot of activity around our lovely piece of junk now, Mir. What is flying around here? This is no junk. It didn't come from the Mir, it's flying in the direction of the Mir. What are they doing here? Who is flying by here? Totally unaffected by the mere God, blinking, pulsating. And the Russians are talking openly about it. Yes, there are UFOs. We don't know what they are. We have a lot of documents, KGB documents, military documents. They're all so UFOs are real. Pictures. Bye-bye, Maria. Have a lovely evening. And here you have the date of the mission, everything. And 1995, 18th of November, the time, 12:22:39, Vremya, Moskovskaya Vremya, Subotka, and so on and so forth. The name of the mission, everything. So, in Russia, especially in the last couple of years, where the old authority structure collapsed, people were open about it, people were releasing material, and people surprised us again and again with new revelations coming from high-ranking generals. So I can say that in Russia, the top military commanders say UFOs are real, he had a lot of encounters. The same happened all over the world. Russia is not better and more important than the USA or Norway. So when do we get the reports and the films from the Norwegian, from the German, from the American side? I hope we don't have to wait too long. Beautiful meal. We will just enjoy the pictures a little bit. If you get a new film, I will commend it for you. And you get an idea that indeed we are not alone out there, what the space mission saw. In August 1999, there was a television program, a beautiful one in the USA, the Jay Leno Show. So Leno was a night television host, a comedian too, but a night host. And he had Hugh Grant in his show, Hugh Grant, you know, from Notting Hill or whatever, the famous British actor. Another film here, you will see some details in a moment. And Hugh Grant was interviewed, and after him came two lady astronauts, Dr. Catherine Coleman and another lady astronaut. And they were interviewed by the show host when Hugh Grant came out again, completely unexpected, and said to Leno, his show host, "Jay, may I ask one question to these ladies?" And Jay said, "Go on." So he said, "Excuse me, you are astronauts, you can tell me, are there any UFOs?" And you had a silence. You could hear a needle dropping on the ground. No reply. They did not move the face. They were petrified for a whole minute. And then Hugh Grant reacted and said, "Look, Jay, they know, but they can't talk about it." No reaction. The program was over. And so he said, "Thank you very much, Lou. Thank you very much, Lady Astronaut, and see you tomorrow," or whatever, you know. They did not react. It would be very easy for them to say, "No, of course not." They didn't want to lie. We have one film in our collection that shows Dr. Catherine Coleman, the very same lady astronaut, reporting on a channel, "Houston, we have an unidentified flying object." I saw the film last time when I was here 2 years ago. And she's floating to the window, looks out of it, continues her observation. He knows she saw a UFO. And you knew it too. So, 1991, cosmonauts, Volkov and Krikal, this was all put together by my friend George Montevani from Italy, so that's why you have it in Italian. This film is remarkable because you see a UFO flying from the space to Earth. And this is our beautiful planet Earth. The Earth's atmosphere. And here there's the UFO. Here begins the Earth's atmosphere. And they are following this very strange craft coming from deep outer space in the direction of planet Earth. They zoom in, they see the energy field around, greenish light, and it is moving. And at the very moment, they see the impulse. The zoom goes back, here's the UFO, here's planet Earth. They continue to zoom in to follow it. And suddenly, it enters the Earth atmosphere and continues to fly up. We have a better film in a moment. Just one of the films, the C-band, yes, it came from outer space, it entered the Earth atmosphere, it continued to fly over planet Earth. Now you know where they come from. Not all of them are whatever secret weapons or whatever, that they come from out there. Look how quick. This is all planet Earth, you know, gigantic distances. This is a repetition, you're just repeating it. Play fast forward, you don't want a repetition. Play fast forward, you saw it again already. Yeah, okay. Okay, play fast forward. Fast forward. It's just a repetition on the tape. Okay, here now one stop. Anyway, play fast forward. I want to show you something special. Play fast forward. I was just told I have only 2 minutes, so actually, okay, August 1991, a silent capsule up. And play fast forward. Fast forward. You have to hurry up a little bit. And look here, you have the UFO. Stop. You have the UFO. Take fast forward. Fast forward. Okay, here you see the object again. Stop. Not the speed. Okay. Again, coming closer to Earth. Entering Earth's atmosphere. This is Earth's atmosphere already. Here is planet Earth. It comes from the space. Entering Earth's atmosphere. Entering Earth's atmosphere and continuing its flight, they come from out there. Fast forward. Stop. Okay, here you have the enlargement. It is entering Earth's atmosphere, coming from outer space, and continues to fly somewhere down there. Fast forward. Okay. 1998. Okay, fast forward. Okay, so this is a very beautiful film from 1998, a Russian UFO film. Just one example of the latest UFO sightings in Russia. It's an amazing film, a very, very clear film, taken by someone who is living in the suburban area of Moscow. And I want to show you this film. Is this a UFO? Mr. Man who took the film, Dieter Lee, thus, I can read it from the distance. Anyway, Dieter Lee is the first man. NLO, because it means UFO in Russian. And this is very offended. Okay, play it. There's a message for the third millennium. The second millennium is over, the 20th century is over, and there's one very important thing we have to learn, which has to do a lot with the UFO reality. And this is to learn to live in peace with each other, to respect each other. What I believe is the most important impact of an alien contact, of the realization that we are not alone in the universe, is but we are one mankind, children of planet Earth. And I think it's beautiful that they gave me the last lecture on this conference, because I think I come from a country which did so many horrible things in the 20th century. We Germans were the bad boys of the 20th century. And I'm glad I can show you a film now at the end, taken by my friend Giorgio Bonzovani, who went as a representative of all of us to a place which, like no other, became a symbol of human madness, a place in Poland called Auschwitz, where millions of people were killed because of this sick, racist ideology of a nation, of a government, of a group of people who did not believe that we are all one mankind. Take us forward. These are the crop circles of the year 1999. Just get an idea of what people they are. They are a message from them. A message that we have to live in harmony with the planet. A message that we have to understand we are one mankind. We are all children of the universe. And that's why this xenophobic policy, which is so popular in the USA, is a wrong approach to the subject, because they are and we are children of God, as the Pope said, children of the universe. One mankind, doesn't matter if we come from planet Earth or set a reticuli or wherever. And we have to learn to live in peace, because the great global problems we are facing now with the millennium, we can only solve together. Say that on the speed. We can only solve together as one mankind. The ocean layer problem, the pollution, the overpopulation, the greenhouse effect, we can only solve as one mankind. You can't do it alone, we can't do it alone. And to go out in space, we need a common effort from all mankind, because it's too expensive for one nation. We have to do it together. So what we have to learn in the third millennium, what we have to learn right now, is to overcome separation, is to overcome racism, is to overcome the arrogancy that one group of human beings is better than another group of human beings. We are all children of one beautiful, rich planet. And if we get this new perspective, if we realize we are one mankind among millions of mankind in a huge gigantic universe of billions and billions and billions of stars with billions and billions and billions of planets, we might realize that the difference is between a German and a Norwegian, or an Arab and a Jew, or even an East and a West German, you don't know this problem, okay, or black and white, is nothing. Is nothing. If we see it from a different, from a cosmic perspective, we realize we are all one, we are children of the Earth, and we have a common responsibility to save this planet, to heal this planet, to solve the problems, and to enter a new millennium of infinite opportunities and infinite challenges. The UFO phenomenon might very well give us this quantum leap in consciousness, this bigger perspective, and a voice that things which happened in the past will happen again. We are children of the universe, we are children of planet Earth, we have a responsibility, we have a place in the universe, we have to find it, we have to define it, we have to give away the ignorance. Galileo Galilei told his critics, look for the telescope and you will see I'm right. They were not willing to look for the telescope of Galileo Galilei. Today enough people are not willing to look at the UFO evidence. But we have the evidence. The evidence is out there. It's published. You can go to the conference. You can get the videos. You can have a look at it. And then you have to draw the conclusions, the consequences out of it, and it will change your life forever. This is the message of ufology for the third millennium. We are not alone. And we all have the responsibility to make sure that this will never happen again. Audio, please. Audio. We may tell it on Earth. Our religion try to educate us are saying, look, if you don't behave, God, there's a place like hell where you have to suffer. But the devil never created a place so horrible as Auschwitz. This is human invention. We did it. And it should never, never, ever happen again. The 20th century is over. They have to draw conclusions. They have to learn. If you don't learn from history, they are ignorant. to a prominent illuminarium, it is in our hands, and our responsibility is to avoid that anything like this will ever happen again in human history. It can only be avoided if we understand our responsibility for the planet, for each other, to build up a civilization of brotherhood, of peace and love and sharing. We can make it possible, we can make it happen, because we have a very powerful instrument to make it happen on our hands. And this powerful instrument is the truth. The truth can set us free. The truth that we are not alone can change us all. The truth can make the difference between the past and the future. The new millennium is a great challenge, it is a great hope, and we can indeed make paradise possible on Earth and avoid that a hell will ever be reality again. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.